Thank you so much for that, guys. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to the book of Exodus, and the 20th chapter, and we're going to look at verse number 12, the Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 12. I know that you know already what we're speaking about this morning as we talk about honoring our parents, and I must confess to you that as I was preparing for this message, I thought, boy, this isn't that hard. Many times in life, we make things very, very difficult, don't we? We try to compound things and make them much worse than they need to be, but this is a very simple message, and so I'm going to make a promise to you this morning. I'm not going to say in 1,000 words what I can say in 50, all right? This is going to be one of those that you should get out early, and if you don't, well, that's why I'm the pastor, and you're the church member, all right? But I'm going to do my best to not make 1,000 or say in 1,000 words what can be said in 50 this morning. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you." You know, we've spent the last 4 weeks answering the question, how do I love God? And what we've discovered is that loving God means, first and foremost, that He's central to our living. Secondly, we saw that loving God means that we know Him personally and intimately, that we don't fall in love with a concept of God, but we fall in love with God Himself. And we do that supremely in the incarnation of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's manifested Himself. And I don't know if we fully grasp or really understand how great a truth that is, that we are the only religion in the world where the worshiper doesn't go to God, but rather God comes to the worshiper. He sent His Son, Jesus, to dwell among us, to reveal Him to us. We also saw, third, that loving God means that we honor Him in our living and in our speech, that we don't dishonor Him in the way that we live or the things that we say. We don't take His name in vain, but rather we recognize that we are called according to His purposes and we are called by His name, and therefore we honor it. And then last week we saw that honor, or loving God means that we dedicate time for corporate worship and reflection on Him on a regular basis. Now this week what we're going to do is we're going to begin to answer that second question in our series, and that is, how do I love my neighbor? Now I suppose that word neighbor this morning carries with it certain connotations, doesn't it? So it may be more proper as we talk about father and mother to say, how do I learn to live with the people around us? You know, oftentimes we don't think of mom and dad as our neighbor, and yet that's what I mean by the term. I'm talking about those who are around us, those that we have interactions with on a regular basis. And that's what the last six laws are all about. They're all about how do we learn to live with the people that are around us. And as we look at these commands over the coming weeks, what we're going to see is that we're going to examine these, and they will examine each of our relationships, moving from our innermost relationships all the way to our less personal relationships outside the home. So as God turns His attention to teaching us about how to learn with the people, or to live with the people that are around us, what He does is He begins in the most inner part of our circle. He begins in the home itself with father and mother. This morning, that discussion begins here in verse 8, where God says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you." Now, parents this morning are interesting creatures, aren't they? No one shapes who we are more than our parents, for good or for bad. In fact, one of the greatest regrets, or moments of most people's life is when they realize in adulthood that they turned out to be their parents and they had worked so hard not to do that, right? Our parents shape us. They make us into the people that we are for good and for bad. When we're first brought into the world, we are dependent upon them. We're dependent upon them for nutrition, for food, for health, for safety, and all of those things. When we're children, we love and adore them. In fact, one of my favorite parts of being a dad right now and having a son who's 4, getting ready to turn 5, is that I recognize in a short time, he's not going to look at me the same way he looks at me now. Right now, I can do no wrong. And listen, he is the only one in our house that feels that way, okay? I love being a dad at this stage in life because he just thinks that I am the cat's meow. He thinks that everything should revolve around me. In fact, he wanted to go to a graduation last night because dad was going, right? And I said, son, you're going to be bored out of your mind. And he says, no, I'll be with you, okay? Listen, son, dad's going to be bored out of his mind, but that's the point. He's at that stage in life where all of us have been at some point in our lives where we love and adore our parents so much that we can't imagine that they could ever do anything wrong. Then comes those pesky teenage years, right? And we become embarrassed by our parents. Students, hear me clearly this morning. The feeling is mutual. All right? As much as you feel embarrassed by your parents, they are embarrassed by you at times. Then after those teenage years comes the college years and really on into young adulthood, and we begin to think about things like marriage, or maybe some of us get married. You know, I think Miss Kelly and I were 22 and 23 when we got married, and we thought we were so old, right? Now you look back and you say, why didn't we wait another 10 or 15 years, right? Okay, never mind. But you get into those young adult years and you start being formed by them and you start thinking about what you want to do and how you're going to have your own family. And then we start realizing how much different we want to be from our parents. You can see the transition, right? First, we're dependent. Then we're in love and adore them. Then we're embarrassed. Then we decide that we want to be different from them. And then somewhere along the way, maybe those kids start coming along and you realize one day that maybe mom and dad knew quite a bit more than you realized or you give them credit for. And by the way, you'll still not give them that credit because they don't know what it's like to parent in 2016. But you start to see all the ways that mom and dad really poured into your life. You start to see all the ways that you've become like them. And despite your best efforts, you realize how much you still need them ultimately in your life. And then it seems as the years go by, for most of us, we value our parents more and more and more until one day they're not with us any longer. Through your own child rearing and through all the things that you go through as a parent, you start to realize about the sacrifices that mom and dad made for you. And you try to teach that to your kids and they look at you like you looked at your parents, right? And they say, I don't get it. I don't understand, right? Or they have some snark comment back. But you start to really appreciate all that mom and dad did to sacrifice to make sure that you were able to do the things that you were wanting to do. With that said, I can think of nothing in life that brings greater satisfaction and joy than the satisfaction of being a parent. The satisfaction of having little children who have your name, little children who look up to you, little children even in their most pesky moments when they want to drive you crazy and embarrass you. And as exhausting as that is, there's no greater opportunity in life. There's nothing greater, no greater joy in life than looking down at someone else and realizing that you made them, others gave them to you, and that eternally you're linked together, that you are a part of each other's lives. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. The command is so relatively simple on its surface. The word honor means to regard with respect or to hold into esteem. To honor father and mother is to consider our parents worthy of our respect, to consider them worthy of our esteem, to place them in a special position in our life. It's not contingent upon their ability. It's not contingent upon their righteousness. It's not contingent upon their rightness all of the time, because what every parent doesn't want their child to know is that they're not right all the time, right? That we do make mistakes, and our honor towards our parents is not contingent upon them always being right or them being perfect. Rather, God simply gives a command in this moment that we are to hold our parents in esteem, that we are to respect them. I thought about this word a lot last night as I was sitting through a two-hour graduation up at Smith Cotton, right? And as I was looking at students going across and receiving their awards and so on and so forth, there was one particular moment that I thought was really special. There was a man returned back from active duty, and he had not seen his daughter in 7 years, and they brought him back for the graduation. And as she came off the stage for the first time, she saw her dad in 7 years and embraced him, and the whole place erupted. They stood up and they clapped and they cheered. And what they were doing in that moment, what I was doing, I believe what we were doing, is giving honor to a man who was sacrificing for his country. We were trying our best to let them know that we appreciated what he'd sacrificed and what his family had sacrificed for that. That's what honor looks like. Honor isn't always what we might think it is. Honor is really just about giving someone the respect that they deserve, giving someone that position that they deserve, esteeming them as worthy of great respect. To honor father and mother, God has put them there, and we recognize that they are worthy of a special place and position in our thinking. That command is a little bit different, though, than the others. In none of the other commands is it joined with a promise. This command is. God says in this moment, honor your father and mother. He says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. In other words, if you will honor father and mother, with respect to that, I'm going to give you long days in the land in which I'm giving to you. The Apostle Paul would write about this phenomenon in Ephesians 6 with a commentary that honoring our parents is the first commandment of promise. He says that it will go well with us when we honor our parents. Growing up, I always heard pastors say, if you want to live a long life, honor your mom and dad, right? If you want to live to be 150 years old, honor your mom and dad. And I thought to myself, I don't want to live to be 150 years old, so I don't have to do this, right? That's what the common thinking is, and it's even somewhat of what Paul's insinuating here in some ways, but it's really not the heart of the matter. What Paul is saying in Ephesians 6 is, life is better when you honor mom and dad. Life is better, it's more fulfilled, it's more satisfying. And so what Paul did there in Ephesians 6 was he basically showed us here back in Exodus 20 that there's two interpretations to what God is doing in this moment. The first is in the immediate context. God was telling these people, promising these specific Hebrews as they're being brought out of slavery into the promised land, that they will enjoy that promised land. They will enjoy Israel better. They will enjoy themselves as a nation better if they will honor mom and dad. And then Paul gives us the second like this, and that is that as you and I, people who are not a part of the promised land, but people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you and I will enjoy our lives better. We will find more satisfaction in life if we'll give mom and dad that place of honor in our home. I want you to kind of picture it like this. Have you ever wanted something so bad only to find out that once you had it, it really wasn't all that you expected it to be? Maybe you haven't, but I have. People long for the land here in Exodus. They long for the land. They wanted it really badly, and God had promised it to them many centuries before. But they had in their minds that when they inherited the land, everything was going to be perfect. But God was saying to them, no, if you want the land to be good, if you want to be satisfied when you get there, then here's what you got to do. You've got to honor mom and dad. That was true of this law, and also it was true of all the others in life. I wish I could drive this point home, but I'll do my best this morning, but it may get missed. All of this law is not about God saying, you know what, I woke up today and decided to put a burden on you. The law that God gives in this moment is given to us for our benefit. God is giving this law to these people because he was saying to them, if you want to be fulfilled in life, then you have to live by my standards. You've got to live by my statutes. You've got to live by my commands. You will enjoy life a lot more if you'll do life my way. And that was certainly true of this. We think that we will have what we, if we could just have what we most want in life, then we would surely be satisfied. But what history has proven to us is that when we do what God wants, that's when we're most satisfied. Therefore, when we operate under his rules, we're fulfilled in life. In this specific case, God was telling the people that there was an inherent blessing, a sense of fulfillment that would come with the land if they would heed his commands, namely, honor your father and mother. From there, the Jews continued to interpret the verse to speak of a future fulfillment also across time. And that's what Paul dives into in Ephesians 6, namely that life is simply better when we honor our parents, when we honor father and mother. By the way, this is easy to see when your son is 4 years old, right? Getting ready to turn 5. Because when he does what dad wants him to do, life is better. We get ice cream and we don't bring any home for mom. On the other hand, when we don't do what dad wants to do, then guess what happens? We get disciplined. And you oftentimes wonder, I think, as a parent, why would you want to be disciplined, right? Why would you want to go through all this? Why do you want to be grounded? Why do you want to be crying? Why do you want to be spanked? And you say to your son, or at least I do, son, don't you realize this is not any fun? This is not fun for you. It's not fun for me. Life will just be better if you'll do what dad says. Here's the problem, though. While it's easy to see that with a 4 and 5-year-old, when we begin to try to apply it as a lifelong principle of honoring our parents, when we honor our parents' life is better, we think sometimes, how could that be the case? Maybe mom and dad don't really know the best. We're in some way blessed by God, is the promise here that if we'll honor them, but we don't really understand how or why. There's a little more in play here, I think, in Exodus 20 than just meets the eye. That's the simple interpretation this morning, that life goes better, that there's more fulfillment when you and I give our parents the place of honor, when we give them a special seat of esteem in our lives. But I think there's a little bit more in play than just that simple interpretation. And in order to do that, I want us, first of all, to remember our context. God is bringing these people out of the bondage into a land that has been promised to them for several centuries. And as a result of their slavery, I've told you over and over again that God is having to change the way the people think. He's having to change the way they look at the world. They have to have a new mindset as they enter into that land. They must love God and honor Him differently than they have ever thought of before. They must love God and honor Him in a different way than they saw the Egyptians love their gods and honor them. Likewise, they must also love and honor the people around them differently than they have ever seen that modeled before in front of them. They must love the people around them in a new way, a way that God is trying to impart to them. Well, the immediate step from loving God to honoring parents in this moment shows us a great correlation, and that is that as God moved the people in their thinking, as He moved them from knowing how to love Him, the next immediate step was the parents, because parents are that representation of God in a very physical sense. Now, don't misunderstand me. Somebody's going to walk out and look at their parents today and say, hey, or their kids today and say, hey, you heard the pastor. I'm God, right? That's not what I'm suggesting to you. What I'm suggesting to you is you play a fundamental role in your children's life, and that role is to show them the nature and character of God, and you are that first person that has that ability. In fact, this morning, if you came in and you read ahead and you said, okay, we're going to talk about honoring father and mother, this ought to be a good crowd this week because everybody's going to be in agreement, and the preacher's going to talk to our kids, I've got bad news for you. This is really more a message about what it means to be a parent than it is a message about what it is to be a kid. Because see, here's the deal. We as parents oftentimes take a mindset with our kids, and that is that we want them to obey us. We expect them to do everything they're supposed to do and everything that we tell them to do. And meanwhile, we continue to ship them off to others to change their minds, to train their worlds. We send them off to school to have teachers influence them there. When we come to church, which is our dutiful responsibility as Christians, right? We send them off to the experts. We send them off to Sunday school class. We send them off to the pastor or to the youth pastor. And we expect those folks are going to be the ones that shape their lives. God gave this command first in this list of dealing with the people around you and directly behind loving Him, because He wanted you to know this morning that you are the very first representation of Him that your kids will ever see. Therefore, if your kids are not following God, don't blame the pastor, the youth pastor, the Sunday school teacher. Look in the mirror. You are the very first representation of God's nature and character to your children. Because of that, He gives the command to the children to honor the parents. Here's what I mean. Honoring parents is really about authority. On its basic level, the way you love and honor your parents is a small picture as children of how we will honor and love God. To put it in the negative, if you can't honor your parents who are physically present and visible, then how could you ever honor God who's invisible? God gives us parents as a representation of Himself, as an extension of His own authority, and therefore to honor them is to honor Him. And therefore, we could go on the other side of the correlation, and that is that as parents, we need to be responsible for honoring God as we represent Him. This is not all that there is either there in that text. I wish there was, because that would be enough in a sermon, but there's more to it than that. The promise in this moment connected to this command tells us something more. God said, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. That promise connected to the command was a collective promise that transcended the individual. Here's what I mean. He promised to the people in this moment as a whole that they will have many days in the land as a direct result of their honoring of the parents. Why is that important? Well, God was speaking about what honor is supposed to look like. Honoring parents is something that we might associate most of the time with legacy. Here's what I mean. You see, for good or for bad, I am associated with the Guffey name. In some circles, that might be a great thing. In other circles, they might say, well, I don't know. That's got some negative connotations to it. The same will be true for my children and my children's children. I'm forever linked to that name. There's a legacy associated with it. And in that sense, in that same sense, God was giving his instruction to these people collectively in this moment to say, you need to honor your parents because when you don't honor that legacy, it has a corporate effect on the whole nation. The nation will be driven into despair if you do not honor your parents. Let me illustrate it with a quick story. There was a Boston pastor many years ago who was the president of what's called the Lord's Day League, and he was also a well-known speaker on temperance and for his gifted humor. In fact, they used to say that he would tell a story of a clerk employed by a governor whose son had received an invitation to dinner at the governor's mansion, and he would tell this story about what had happened in his life. And it went a little bit like this. The boy's mother prepared for him on a great occasion, and just before he left for dinner, his father took him aside and he said these words, "Son, you are now going to the governor's mansion. Remember, my reputation is in your hands." After telling that story, the temperance speaker would often emphasize the fact that God's reputation is in our hands as his children. When we go into the world, we are representing him, right? We're representing his authority, his power. Here's where this story gets interesting. One day, this Boston preacher who would tell this story about the governor and his son, one day this Boston preacher had a day when the papers were filled with a story about his family. It was a story about how the minister's son had brought disgrace to the family name. Driving the family car one Sunday while he was drunk, he killed a man, much to the agonized shame of his father, who had just recently preached against drunkenness and the Sabbath, breaking all of these years. Shortly after that, the ministers were giving a dinner to which they wanted to invite this minister, but because of the tragedy, they were a little bit nervous to do so. Finally, they felt that they needed to invite him. He had been a part of this organization for all the years, and so they did. And the time came for him to speak, and they asked him to speak if he was comfortable. And this time he did. But he told no jokes, and he indulged in no humor. He simply repeated the story he had told so many times of a son who went to the governor's mansion. And then with those final words, "My reputation is in your hands," everyone understood what he was getting at. It was like a message from heaven. True it is that with the privilege goes also the duty to uphold God's honor. His reputation is in our hands. When the people were told in this moment, honor father and mother so that your days might be long, God was speaking much more than just about the individual. He was speaking about a corporate legacy that was being built in the nation. You will not have long days as the nation of Israel if you do not honor the legacy of your parents, of mother and father. God was giving instruction for the people to honor the sacrifice and the legacy that their parents were going to leave behind. These people that he's addressing, their children would be the first people to inherit the land. Their grandchildren would be the first generation that was going to be born into the land. And if for a moment they began to forget from where God had brought them out of the land of Egypt into this promised land, and they stopped honoring the legacy of their parents, in that moment God was saying, you will have short days, you'll lose it, you will fall into despair and disrepute. Maybe I can just illustrate it a little bit like this. We live in a society that's always living in the present. We rarely value what's in the past, and few actually understand really where they've come from, their roots and the sacrifices that it took to get where they are. A few months ago, I was telling our men's group that I decided to sign up for Ancestry.com. Don't be judgmental. And by the way, if you sign up, if I'm going to give them a plug, just do the 30 days, okay? After that, it's too expensive. But I signed up for Ancestry.com because I wanted to ask a question in my life. I wanted to know this. I wanted to know when Christianity was first introduced into the Guffey family. See, I had grown up hearing my grandfather tell stories. My grandfather on the Guffey side lost his mother when he was pretty young, and he never got higher than, I believe it was, a seventh grade education. And I remember hearing stories about after the war, getting married, and the first Sunday that they went to church, because my grandmother said, if you're not going to go to church with me, then we can't get married. So they got married, and the very first Sunday they went to church, my grandfather made a profession of faith and got saved. And I remember hearing that story, and I kept thinking to myself, if Christianity was anywhere else in our history, or if he was the first to really break tradition. Well, I began to do some searching on Ancestry. And you know those little leaves that pop up, if you've ever done it, right? And you get like 1,000 of them every 3 minutes, so you can't look at all of them. But you get all these leaves, and you begin to trace it back. And I traced our heritage all the way back to England. And what I found was something I had never expected. What I found was a baptismal certificate for a great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother way back when, right? It was amazing. I found all of these things, and I started following our lineage from England into America and all the way into Illinois. And you know what I discovered? My grandfather's grandfather, that would be my great-great-grandfather for those of you who are at home, it seems to be the break in our lineage. Because every child before him is named with a Christian name until he comes along, and then all of a sudden, he doesn't name his children with Christian names. And if I remember the stories correctly, he had a struggle with alcoholism, which led into a problem with my grandfather's father, my great-grandfather, who became a very harsh man and dealt very harshly with my grandfather. And thus, my grandfather was harsh with his father. And then you can draw out the correlations from there. Here's what I mean. I don't want your pity this morning. When I look back at that, I celebrated the fact that Christianity had been a long part of our heritage, okay? But then I saw where that broke. And what I saw was that three generations of men were shaped incorrectly because one man decided not to honor God. Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord, the God, is giving to you. Speaks more about the corporate than it does the individual. God was saying to the nation, there's going to come a time when your children's children, when your grandchildren's children, when they're going to be tempted not to honor your legacy. When they're not going to remember the sacrifice and what it took to get you from there to here. And in that moment, the nation will fall apart if they do not honor their parents' legacy. People were coming into the land, and in a generation of two, there would have been a temptation to forget where they had come from. So God was giving them an order for them to honor their parents and thereby their heritage so that the nation could honor God as a whole. This would ensure the people would have many days in the land and that it would go well with them, for they would be committed to the God that had brought their parents' parents' parents out of the land of Egypt. But here's where the scab begins to rub, and I'm figuring you might have figured this out by now. As you look through all that and you understand all that God was saying, here's where the problem comes in. Because as we talk about honoring our parents this morning, whether it's in the immediate or the future context, there is a recognition that all parents are what they should be. Some of you have had bad parents. Some of you have been bad parents. Some of you have children who will be bad parents. Some of you had parents whose parents were bad parents, who did not model the character of Christ. And so when we read this and we're told, hey, we're supposed to honor their legacy, when we're supposed to remember what they've done and what God has done to bring them to that, we come to a place and we say, how can I ever honor someone who never honored God? How can I ever give them a special place of esteem when their values don't match my values that God has given to me? What do I do when my parents are not the representative that God had designed them to be? Well, the answer to that question lies in what the term honor really means. As a child, to honor is almost synonymous with obedience. In fact, as I've said that you're supposed to honor your parents, that's probably the number one word that keeps going on in your mind, right? And here's the truth. As a little child, there's probably no better way to show honor than to be obedient, is there? But the word honor and the word obedience are not synonymous. In fact, sometimes that word obedience can darken what the real understanding of honor should be. Now, I've preached on this extensively in the past out of Ephesians 6, and so I'm not going to take a lot of time to deal with it this morning, but let me just mention this truth. When a marriage takes place between a man and a woman, there is a new family unit that is formed. That means that unit is no longer to be held under the obedient authority of what has been. In other words, mother-in-law, father-in-law, it is not your right to tell your children how they should be raising their children. And some of the parents in the room should have said, "We agree, preacher," finally, right? Mother-in-law, father-in-law, it is not your right to tell your children how they should live their lives. When they've made that marriage and instituted a new unit, they are now saying, "We have assumed this responsibility of our own." I could go the other side of it and say to you, as you enter into a new marriage, a young couple, if you want to know how to make your parents exercise that right or to sin, ask them to be in your financial playbook. Ask them for money. When you get married, it is your responsibility. You are saying, "I'm mature enough, I'm old enough, I'm responsible enough to create a new family unit." And nothing will sour that more then if you say to your parents, "We need your help over here," and then they offer their advice and you say, "That's not your place." You can't have it both ways. I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble, right? I said this was an easy sermon. When I assumed the responsibility for my wife, her father looked at me and asked me if I was assuming her to become mine to love and to cherish for the rest of my life. And I said I was, and it became my duty on the day that I said I do to her forever. Became my duty on that day to work with her and to work together to set our own rules and standards to live by within our family unit. Therefore, it would never be right for her parents to say, "Hey, you guys are doing this wrong, you need to do it this way." Likewise, it would never be right for my parents to come in and say, "You guys are doing this all wrong, you're going to screw up your kids, this is what you should be doing." Now, don't misunderstand me this morning. Our parents are great sources of wisdom, and we can turn to them, and we can ask for their guidance. Don't misunderstand me. But it is not their responsibility once that new covenant has been made. We've not been released from the command, however, to honor. And this is why this is so important. Honoring has more to do than just obedience. Obedience and honor are not synonymous. Honoring is a giving of respect or a holding in esteem. To honor our parents today looks different than it did when I was a child. To honor my parents today looks different than it did when I was 4. To honor my parents today looks different than it did when I was 16. Honoring my parents today looks like, despite my parents' mistakes, not putting them in a bad light in front of my children. Not saying to my children, "Do you realize how silly Grandma and Grandpa are?" Honoring my parents today means that I will give them a special place in my home, that I highlight their strengths. Let me go back to the illustration of the graduation. Kids are coming across the stage last night, right? And they're saying things like, "Okay, this student got a scholarship to this university, and they did this all 4 years, and they graduated magna cum laude," which who in the world knows what that means? You know what I mean? And, you know, this student did all these things. You know what they never say? They don't say, "Hey, and by the way, this one was arrested for drinking and driving. This student is going to the University of Illinois because they really did great with their grades, but you know what else they did? They egged somebody's house one time in October." They don't highlight. Now, it would make the graduation more interesting if they did, but they don't do that. Honoring is giving a special place of esteem, or let me put it to you like this. With my parents, what I have to do with my kids is I have to overlook any flaws and I have to bring out their strengths. I have to tell my kids what their grandparents do really well. And said, even if I think there's a lot of things that I don't agree with, and even if Kelly and I have met together and said, "We're not going to be like your parents," you know what I mean? Even if we've done that privately, we don't say to our kids, "Hey, by the way, Grandma and Grandpa were great, but they never did this." We put them in a good light. Honoring my parents today means I give them a special place in my home. Honoring my parents today means that sometimes you hold your tongue. Sometimes the most honorable thing you can do is say nothing at all. I know I'm right about this. Honoring our parents today means sometimes modeling to our kids what we want from them. If I want my kids to honor me in a certain way, then I need to show that same honor to my parents and to my in-laws. Honoring your parents, especially when those parents might not have been good role models, doesn't mean that you continue to make the same bad choices that they made. Nor does it mean that you have to follow in their footsteps if they've left you with the wrong path to follow. Honoring your parents means that you give them the dignity and respect that they're worthy of. It's difficult at times because God speaks in perfect terms, doesn't he? If we lived in a perfect world, honoring father and mother would be really easy because father and mother are always worthy of honor. This is my challenge to you as parents this morning. You ready? It should be your great challenge to every parent in this room this morning, be worthy of your children's honor. Make it easy on them to honor you. Make it easy on them to honor you by living in such a way that you're worthy of it. The reality is that fathers and mothers are sinners, that we are fallen creatures, and as such, we're not always worthy of honor. However, God commanded his people in this moment and us today that we were commanded to give dignity and respect even when they weren't worthy of it. When our parents were great examples of the faith, we're to follow that example and bring honor and glory to them. When our parents are not great examples of the faith, we are to head down a different path, absolutely. But not by chastising them and by highlighting their faults. Rather, we are to hold them in esteem despite their shortcomings. The command is difficult because we don't like to see our heroes fall. As children, our parents are our superheroes. I was having this conversation last night with Chuck back there. I said, you know, I love the fact that that my son thinks that I can do no wrong, that I'm a superhero. The problem with honoring our parents is that the longer we live, there comes a point where we see our superheroes fall. We see their mistakes and their shortcomings, their cracks in the character. They begin to stand out. But even though it may not be easy, the command is still relevant. Honor father and mother, and it will go well with you in the land that God has given to you. I'll leave you with only this morning. To bestow honor is an intentional choice on your part this morning. Your parents aren't worthy of honor, and neither are you. However, God has commanded you to give it and said that your life will be better when you do. Therefore, faith in God and respond by honoring father and mother. Stand with me reverently and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day and for the opportunity you've given us to be reminded of the important role that our parents play in our lives, but also the important role that we play in our children's lives. My prayer from this morning's message would be twofold. Number one, that we would be a people committed to showing honor to our parents, even in those moments when they least deserve it, that we would give them the respect and dignity that they're worthy of for the sacrifices they've made, but not only that, but for the simple fact that you created them to be our parents, that you gave them to us to represent you, even as imperfect as they were, and even some really bad situations, you gave them to us. And so for that very reason and that reason alone, they are worthy of dignity and respect, so may we give it to them. The second purpose of this message this morning that I hope you will invest in us as parents is that we need to be a people who are worthy of honor in our children's eyes. Our children need to know that we're worthy of their honor because not because of our goodness, not because we don't make mistakes, but because we've committed ourselves to you, your purposes and plans in our life. We would be a people who would live honorably and honor our parents. It will indeed go well with us in the land. We love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song of response this morning. I don't know what type of response you might need to make in your life. Maybe it's just realize that maybe you need to pick up the phone after service. Whatever it is this morning, you respond as the Lord.